Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody. Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Thursday, October 26, 2023. And we're getting ready for the big game this weekend against Wisconsin. We'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit about the big victory over Penn State this past week. But first, we're going to be starting off with the craziness that continues to be coming out in our rivals up north. Michigan, as we talked about last week, they are under investigation for violating NCAA rules in regards to sending scouting ahead of opponents ahead of time and electronic, actually videotaping said, signals
from the sideline. Yeah.
Sideline as they were scouting ahead of time. So big no-no on both of those things with the NCAA. God, we literally every day, it seems like a new news story has come out. Who knows? We might even have one that's come out within the last 10 minutes because it's always seems like something new is popping up. We've had ESPN, The Athletic, Yahoo have basically have all been going back and forth with stories. But then yesterday we kind of had the big one in the evening is the Washington Post sent out a story about how, there's actually, proof, there was some sort of outside law firm that was doing an investigation and, they found proof that not only did Michigan have, budgeted it in, like $15,000 for this year, for them to do operations at Ohio Stadium or against Ohio State in Georgia and other schools. I mean, what do they say? It was up to like 40 games for this year.
40 games. Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And then not only did they have proof of all that on these computer drives, and pictures of the people that were actually doing it, we'll call them the operatives because this seems like a big, this is becoming a spy novel by the day. But also Michigan coaches had access to said drives. And, did they actually looked at the drives? I'm sure there's proof of that because there's going to be, technology fingerprints on all that stuff. If actually they signed into said drives, that we didn't, I don't really think that was so clear within the story, but here's proof that the university had knowledge that something of this was going on. So, that kind of takes away their whole arguments up to that point that this was just some low level guy who's supposedly a recruiting analyst, but is on the sidelines with the coaches and talking to the defense. Yeah. The defense and offensive coordinator basically sitting on both of their hips for entire games and, he's a nobody within the program.
And I realize, especially the last 2 years or whatever, Jim's came off with this aura or this the facade that he runs a much more lackadaisical program than what he used to, and it's more hands off. Which, who knows? Maybe that's the truth. Especially looking into all this, maybe that's the reason why he's more hands off now. But could you? Just imagine anybody that's a nobody telling the play callers what play to call, especially during the Ohio State Michigan game. Like what? They would turn around and be like, get the hell out of here, dude. Like if he wasn't actually giving them useful information, they would tell him to go get bent, get the hell out, go talk to a recruiter or something. But yeah, and everyone's like, it doesn't matter, a low level staffer, you can't, that doesn't prove anything. Like, what the hell do you mean that doesn't prove anything? That guy on any other team in that high leverage of a situation would never be anywhere near those coaches.
Yeah.
Especially talking. Yeah. Like they would turn around to hit him.
Like, can you imagine Urban Meyer? Literally, who are you? Like,
oh my God, Urban. Yeah. Urban wouldn't know his name for one, but then he would tell him to get the hell away from him.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like, you can't just deny knowing the guy. I've heard now from, Zach Smith on his thing. He talked on his podcast about how, you know, yeah, these analysts, they're nowhere near the field. They're up charting stuff up in the booths and stuff like that. And, you know, and other, like, I mean, we follow a bunch of the web, different sites and stuff like that, which all have recruiting experts on staff. And they've all pretty much said this week is like, yeah, the recruiting guys, you know, are not anywhere near the sidelines. They're with recruits, like, you
or
know,
yeah, end zones or whatever. They're just, they're not there. Like, they're
no,
there would be no reason for him to be that close to any coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all just suspect. I mean, you look at like the play from the opening drive last year where they're like, oh, that's just good coaching. Like, the entire team is looking straight at Ohio State's bench. Like, they're not looking at formations. Yeah. They're looking straight at what the play calls are. And then they all immediately shout out pass. And I'm from either A, they were real quick to decipher who was the live play caller, or the more likely option was all three play calls were a pass. And so they were like, one of these is going to be a pass.
No.
And then they actually figured out, you know, who the live guy it was eventually. And then they said, oh, but Ohio State scored on it. Like, they keep forgetting these little details, man. And it's like, and I know we're still in the middle of the story, so we'll go back to it. But like, one put up like what it looks like from an iPhone on the sidelines, how blurry it is. Or the other one says, oh, Ohio State scored on the play. Or the other one says, oh, it's not that much of a competitive balance. Or Jim Harbaugh wasn't the one actually in the stand scouting. Like, end of the day, it doesn't matter. You broke a rule. It doesn't matter how advantageous it was for you. If it wasn't at all, it probably wasn't worth getting your ass in trouble for it.
Yeah. And the whole thing about these cell phones and stuff, well, it's just a cell phone, blah, blah, blah. I mean, has anybody seen what these cell phones look? I mean, what kind of, I mean, we went to the Ohio State Tulane game, you know, several years, what was that, 18? Like, yeah. You know, so, I mean, this is a couple generations ago of my phone, and, you know, I recorded though. I mean, we were decent seats. We were down in one of the corners, you know, and like, well, probably about the 10-yard line. And, you know, I recorded the whole band as they were doing the show. It came out pretty good. That's, I think there's now been two different generations of phones that have come out since then. So like, yeah, I know how good these phones are, and like, they can see pretty well. And like, you know, like, don't give me that, you know, I mean, professional photographers use them as like, you know, doing different things with right. them. So like, yeah, don't give me that, oh, it's just an iPhone. You can't see blah, blah, blah. And the whole stuff with the All 22 is like, well, you could get that from TV or from the All 22. I'd be like, no, you can't, not that easily. Like, you know, first of all, on TV, they're not just looking at the sidelines. I mean, they're paying attention to the game. You can't necessarily easily see, you know, the guys, except when they're looking directly at them, and even that you can't really see them because, you know, the cameras isn't always just focusing on that,
right? Or the camera is usually, you know, panned in as close as it can be on the play. I mean, there are times that the camera looks over at the side, but it's not often.
Yeah,
it's not that clear.
Yeah. And then on the All 22, you can see bits and pieces of the sideline. I know you get different angles,
but it's filmed from the sideline. Like, you don't see the sideline signals.
Yeah. Like, so it's just, I don't know. And then they came out with the whole thing with the Ohio State staff that, you know, they went to the Notre Dame game. Well, yeah,
they were playing in it.
That's, again, they didn't violate the rules there. That, you know,
you're allowed to go to those games because your team's playing in them. That's not scouting of anything.
And the one kid, the one that they were all making a big deal about, he was literally sitting behind the Notre Dame bench with his cell phone out. He would have been recording the Ohio State bench. So, like, you know,
I mean, the mental gymnastics that they're playing, and then like, and I feel bad for some of them because it's just like, I've never seen people go through these many emotions
it's the stages of grief
within a 24-hour period. I mean, every day starts off the same, that, you know, they're trying to figure out like how they can get past this, and then it's nothing, and then by the end of the day, it's all of them are in acceptance, and then the cycle starts over. Yep. The next day, and it's just so like crazy. Like, I mean, I kind of feel bad for them, but they're all a bunch of nut jobs. Like, I can see where this guy, you know, kind of came from.
Yeah. So we had the pitchers came out this week, you know, we had the Washington Post story. So, I mean,
the post on the different forums for the different schools, like the one
that was the wildest,
the one is the guy from Oregon's like, this guy's been filming the game, the sidelines, took a picture of him. And then the Tennessee guy was like, my buddy has a friend, whatever, that he works for Michigan. He scouts the games. Is, you know, is that in the up and up? And then it comes out that they were at Tennessee's game and that's Washington's
like literally,
game.
You know, way back when. I mean, the Tennessee stuff's from like December and January.
Yeah.
And it's like, so for all you message board warriors out there, you guys keep doing you, because it's for all the crab message board geniuses. Actually, they had to come back and like actually say this week. It's like, oh, wow. It's like, you know.
Right.
Somebody got something right. But no, it's just crazy. So, you know, before we get kind of into the Penn State stuff, I mean, let's just do some crazy, you know, speculation. Like, I mean, where is this going now today? I mean, I don't know. Stuff came out today. I mean, or like anytime recently, but it seemed like today for the last week was probably the quietest on the news front. Now,
I felt like after that story, like I even put that up on Twitter this morning. I'm like, I feel like it's going to slow down for a couple of days, yeah.
Which might not be a good thing, because usually when you get like the real slow days, it's like it always seems like that's leading into the major news. And like now, you know, you got some of their fans are like thinking that this is over, that they beat it.
It's
and
not over.
Like, you know. I don't know. Like they like.
Nothing moves like this unless there's something there.
Like, I cannot believe the NCAA supposedly has already, you know, sent people out today to talk to some people in the university. And, you know, that never happens a week after just opening an investigation. Like, you know, they gather all their evidence. But I guess when you have a bunch of schools that can go get evidence for you and turn it in, that, you know, okay, yeah, you know, they might have a lot of information already. And this Washington Post stuff, I mean, if a bunch of stuff was pulled off their computers and given to the NCAA, what that Washington Post story was saying, I mean, and I'm sure probably the most salacious stuff about it probably wasn't even in the story, because they, yeah, whatever got leaked there to the Washington Post, it probably wasn't even like the full, you know, smoking gun. So who knows what's in there that could, you know, burn them. So I don't know, like, is Jim Harbaugh done coaching? I mean, they're in a bye week this week. Is he going to get suspended before next week? Is he going to get terminated? I would probably think that because of everything with the transfer portal rules, the university would probably choose to suspend him if they're going to go that route and then deal with possible termination after the year is over. But I don't know. Does the Big Ten step in and say that they're banned from going to the Big Ten championship game? You know, is the college football committee come in and be like, you know, technically, you know, there's too much up in the air right now. And, you know, we just don't feel comfortable including them into the playoff. And like,
well, and that's the one I keep getting stuck on, is because like, and you know, we just talked about it before we started, you know, recording, is if I was a team knowing that Michigan is like ineligible and whatever, I mean, I know it's not steroids or anything, it gives a competitive advantage. Well, it does actually, but assuming at that point, whoever they play in the playoffs, they don't have their signs. I mean, I'd be royally pissed off if I lose that game and then it comes out, you know, month, year, 2 years, whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, Michigan, honestly, no, you got to give it back. We're vacating that win. And we're vacating your title win if they end up winning the title. Like, I would be so mad that I had to play someone that the committee knew, like, to begin with, that there's, you know, a decent shot, a shot out there that they would have to, you know, strip them of that win. So, I mean, like I told you, unless, like, there's things get absolved, you know, if Michigan, if you know, they're cleared of all crimes and it was a big nothing burger, or Jim Harbaugh and his staff gets fired and somehow they run the table with, you know, whatever's coaching them, I'm fine with either of those. But the other alternative is like, hey man, this is just going to be an ongoing investigation. Yeah. And I just don't know how you can move that quickly, that you could have a final solution before, you know, you would get to the playoffs. So, I mean, that's where I'm at on that one.
Well, not in, you know, not even under NCAA policy, they can't move that fast. So
no, they can't.
Even if they have like enough information to go with, they still have to formally charge them.
And it's 90 days.
Yeah, Michigan gets 90 days to respond. Right. So like, if anything is going to come down before the season, it's going to either come A, from the university, B, from the Big Ten, or C, from the playoff committee. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's not like the NCAA is not going to, this won't get dealt with until earliest at the spring, because, you know, they have to formally charge them with whatever infractions that they think that they broke. And then, yeah, Michigan gets 90 days to, you know, so that puts them outside the season. So like, you know, it would be over by then. So,
yeah, I mean, to wildly speculate, like today wasn't, like we said, it was not as loud as, you know, what the days before this have been. But that doesn't mean tomorrow won't be crazy or we won't get more tonight.
Or a Friday news dump right at 5 tomorrow. And that's like,
well, that would suck. Like,
if Michigan decides just to cut off the head at 5 o'clock tomorrow and be like, well, and there's going to be games going on this weekend. So Big Noon and College Game Day, they can't spend that much time on this. So like,
yeah, I mean, distractions are real though, regardless, you know, they could say, oh, it brings us all together. We're going to band together and we're going to use this as motivation to win, but man, that's going to wear on people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So we'll see. And of course, you know,
you think Harbaugh, I mean, do you think he's going to get fired or, you know, hit with the show cause or there's more lack of institutional control running around down here? Like,
I think him coaching this year, he probably will. I think that they'll circle the wagons. I have a feeling he's outside of this year that he's done at Michigan. Like, I just think that, you know, part of me does not think the Big Ten is going to force the issue just because, like, I don't know. I don't see it coming. Now, they have done dumb things. They've done things that I've never expected them to come before. Like, I don't see the other conferences doing that to one of their big brands, but doesn't mean the Big Ten wouldn't. I would think that some of the other big brands, because, you know, the commissioner works for the presidents of the university. So I would have to think that the other big brands, which is Ohio State and Penn State, would have to be on board with it ahead of time for them to say, yeah, we're going to go forward. And I don't know if those two want him to be terminated right now, because I have a feeling that they both want to kick his ass. Like, and they have those games coming up. And I think they want to play him. I mean, everything we're hearing out of the Ohio State beat reporters and stuff is like, Ohio State wants to play this Michigan team as assembled, you know, the last weekend of November.
Yeah. And I mean, I believe it. I mean, you need 70%. I don't think you need those two schools, but I don't know how many, like you said, it's kind of like the big guys have to kind of set the tone for that. And I don't know if you'll get that from them, which, I mean, regardless, either way, it doesn't, you know, I hope they get the chance to play. I'm like, I don't want the game to not happen, you know, and I don't, you know, necessarily want Harbaugh not to be there for it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they said, hey, you guys are not going to be postseason eligible. And that's not saying they will. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised by it. Like, nothing that would be said will surprise me. Even nothing will happen to you guys. Like, if Michigan gets off scot-free, like, that probably would surprise me, but nothing really will surprise me about this.
And the only other,
he might have even coached his last game. Like you said, that we might get a news dump tomorrow that, later, Jim.
And, you know, the only other thing I could really think of, you know, in situations like this, people jump the ship and, you know, does one of these coordinators turn against him? I mean, Minter has options. Minter can go back to the NFL and like, does he?
That squirrely little dude. He
could, though. He would have options to go somewhere.
He doesn't know anything.
Does he, you know, turn around and be like, yep, we did it. And, you know, Jim absolutely knew about it. And, you know, does one of the players, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, you kind of go back and look at some of the stuff at McNamara and all, you know, and I mean, he had a very interesting, you know, tweet when he left Michigan, Eric Hall.
Yeah.
You know, is there stuff there? You know, Gattis at Maryland. I mean, they still got Maryland coming up. Who knows if, you know, he's not the one who spilled the beans that got stuff started, because
maybe he told Loxley and he spilled the beans just like they did for Chase Young. And that's all speculative.
Yeah.
And maybe Harbaugh will take him to the woodshed.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, you don't know. I just know that there's something going on. We know that there's official investigation, and like the Washington Post, I mean, and I know there's, you know, people have political opinions about the Post and stuff like that, but this has nothing to do with politics. And I don't just see the Post coming to do a,
It's also not an Ohio State beat writer coming out with the story.
I don't see them. I mean, this is more than just ESPN. And I mean, they took down a president of the United States at one point in like the history of the Post. So like, I don't think that they're just going to write a story about Michigan if they feel like they don't have something concrete on, you know,
that. Well, they wouldn't waste their time.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's not ESPN. It's not Yahoo. I mean, it's something legit. I mean, so there's something there for the Post to feel confident going with that story. So, like, it's my opinion on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see, but I still see Michigan fans saying, oh, you know, it's like the worst is over, or that was it, or, you know, nothing burger. And I'm still like, the worst is yet to come, man.
Yeah. And honestly, and to the Michigan fans, and I know the NCAA has gotten really weakened over the last several years. I mean, with some of their latest things, I just remember, you know, the Tressel situation. And I thought once Tressel was gone, that whole situation is over. You know, they had a bad season, you know, they lost 7 games. They went to the Gator Bowl. Like, nobody cares about that. They lost all their good players. Tressel gets fired. You know, he'll probably get, you know, told that he can't really coach anymore. I'm like, they're not going to get a bowl ban. And they got a bowl
ban. And
so, like, you know, you never know when the NCAA, what they will and won't do. And so I don't know.
And can we actually take like a couple minutes, not that long, but to address the moral fiber of Michigan? Like, what did Matt Weiss do? Like, what is being covered up over there? Where is he? Is he in a gulag somewhere? Like, the guy is on computer access crimes, and nobody has a straight answer of what that means, where he's at.
And the FBI is looking into it, and there's possibly multiple victims in multiple states.
I don't know what this means. Like, I don't know what his deal is. Like, running, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on it, but it's just like, you know, you had the stuff with Mozzie Smith, like, oh, well, you know, it was just misunderstanding. Like, he had a felony, man. The guy had a loaded gun in the car that he wasn't supposed to. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. There's, you know, the Schembechler, all their drama over the years. There's sexual assault stuff that they talked about. So, yeah.
I mean, going all the way back to the Luan stuff, I mean, you think about
they think that, like, and right, and they act like there's some squeaky clean program. And it's just like, they do so much work to try to cover up everything. Yeah. And it's so, like, just shady. So, yeah. Shame on you guys that, you know, say that you're a better program than Ohio State. Like, Ohio State might have its stains on its mark, but at least they address them.
Yeah.
They don't just, you know, cover them up and hope no one notices.
Yeah. I mean, the Urban Meyer situation with Zach Smith, I mean, that whole thing comes out, and what, within a week, he's in front of the Board of Trustees.
People are fired. People are suspended. Finds out Urban and Gene both told the compliance lady about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. Whatever.
Like, all right. Penn State.
Yeah. So,
I did have some thoughts on Penn State, so I put them in my notes.
All right, so just real, you know, just my thoughts on Penn State. Kind of annoying this week with some of the national reporters. I think a lot of them are a little hurt, and they're behind that. A lot of them picked Penn State to win, and then, you know, Penn State, you know, offensively didn't do anything, and, you know, Yurcich, yeah, he didn't call a great game, and James Franklin blew another one against Ohio State, but. Like, just kind of the downplaying. Well, that was a bad team. No,
they're not a bad team.
I mean, like, Ohio State, yeah, they were the better team that day. But defensively, they frustrated the hell out of out of Penn State. So, like, you know, and that's just the one thing that has annoyed me probably the most out of it. I mean, you could come out and say, well, yeah, Kyle McCord's still not there. The offense, yeah, they're a little banged up and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not the cleanest offense that they've obviously had in the Ryan Day era. But this defense is free off. All for how many years now we've heard this Ohio State defense is going to cost them a national title. And,
right.
You know,
like, and I don't think that's on the board this year, but I don't think anyone's thinking that at this point. Like, I don't think anyone thinks that this is a fake defense anymore. Like, we saw that. I think people were tweeting, like, you know, that first drive against Youngstown State, cause they scored. They're like, oh, same defense as always, but it's not like guys are much more just fundamentally sound. Yeah. You know, they know what they're doing out there. I mean, Knowles
has got
aggressive, not aggressive, varied, like,
yeah, he's got
everything you want.
Everything I see, he's got a very good feel how he's calling games right now, that he's knowing when to bring it and knowing when to drop back. You know, he's mixing up a lot of different coverages on teams. I mean, yeah, you can say Aller wasn't ready for the moment, and maybe in 2 years he will be ready for the moment, or next year. Like, you know, I mean, the kid obviously has talent, but I mean, that was a buzzsaw that he, I mean, he had pressure on him. They were doing all kinds of different things with the coverage. And you know what? Ohio State has legitimate lockdown corners. Even Jermaine Matthews is like,
Jermaine Matthews looked great.
I mean, they have four really good corners on this team. And, you know, I mean, Denzel Burke's going to be the first corner taken in the draft. And, you know,
It's still up. But
I think so.
But he'll be a first rounder for sure.
Like, I don't know.
Can Hancock play himself into being a draft pick this year? I mean, that's what I'm scared of because he's been phenomenal.
You don't know. It could happen. Like, yeah. But I mean, I think he should play another year, but you know, that's
my opinion. Proven he can play in and out. And yeah.
And I mean, yeah, very easily could happen. You know, we'll see that as we go down the stretch, but you know, and God on offense, you know, for having half the offense injured, you know, Marv, when you know, obviously he's the only person that's going to probably get the ball today. He still freaking dominates a game.
But I mean, and that goes with smart play calling and scheme. Yeah, and
they did a lot of good things with
it. I mean, what did Ohio State, like, and I realize they had Najee Harris also, but I mean, what was Alabama's game plan against Ohio State was, we're going to move Devontae Smith everywhere, anywhere and everywhere, and we're going to get him the ball as much as possible.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to do with Marv. I mean, it's been smart. I mean, let's face it. That's been the game plan since the second half of that Maryland game. They were just like, we're going to run this offense through Marv and, you know, whatever else happens, but we're going to make them commit as many people as possible to taking him away before we get off that plan.
Yeah.
And it's smart.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to go, like, I got notes for a lot of stuff, but, you know, we can have quick conversations or whatever. First of all, like, first couple of things about the defense, just defense was amazing in this game. 1 for 16 on third downs. The one came on the final drive of the game. They held Penn State to only 6 yards in the second half before the final drive of the game, which really meant nothing, even though it did bring it back within a one score game. But the defense looked phenomenal. I know I've mentioned it before. I'm just impressed. I think Jim Knowles is finally learning how to like mesh his coaching style with just having dudes all over the field. You know, you don't have to be super schemey or blitz happy or aggressive or like a niche defense. You know, you can just coach guys smart, just get them ready, let them know, you know, make sure they know how to run your defense, but you don't have to be super aggressive. I thought the run offense looked a lot better in the first half than what the final numbers suggested. But the second half, they were kind of stifled, you know, stuffed a little bit. They stopped kind of running the stuff that worked for them in the first half. It really seemed conservative. Like Ryan was okay with, like, I just think he felt like he was in a good place.
Yeah.
And you can't always get like that though, because we saw, you know, which will be another one of my points, is just the special teams needs to clean up their act because the fumble. I mean, there's always something wrong with the special teams in one of these games. And I'm not trying to, you know, rain on the parade too much because there's a lot great in this game. But I mean, this is, you know, observations that can get cleaned up a lot of this stuff. Penalties need to get better.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the broken record now, is just that
you had an illegal substitution coming out of like a 20-minute stoppage for Chop Robinson's injury. Like how does that happen? And then what? You got a first down, and you got a false start right after it. And then you got another first down, but you had a holding, bring that back.
Yeah. And the holding was ticky. I mean, I think that they're so used to Simmons holding that anytime it looks close, they're going to get a holding penalty on him. That one should not have been.
It wasn't that bad, honestly, but I mean, it was called. And I know you were like, hey, you know, it's an aggressive penalty, whatever. The Tommy offsides, that really irked me though, because they just had a 2 yard loss.
Yeah.
And Tommy gave him 3 yards back of that. So that, I mean, that really upset me. Those were the ones I could think of. Kyle, of course, we all know Kyle needs to get better. He needs to be more urgent. I mean, he got a sack down on his own goal line when he had plenty of time to throw the ball and do something with it. So we know he needs to get better. They're at their best. He's at his best, I think, when they're moving fast right now. He's a one read guy, you know, just don't let him think too much. Just get him in rhythm. Cause I think that's a lot of his issues, is when like plays break down and he's looking, going through his reads, he gets out of rhythm, his mechanics go wrong. Yeah. So I think the more you can do to keep it going fast for him, the better. And then I just had like Mayan. I felt like Mayan actually ran the ball very well at points of the game, but he does this thing, man, where like he doesn't know what he wants to be, and he'll run into someone, and instead of just like keeping his legs moving and getting the extra yard or two that's there for him, he feels like he has to bounce it out.
Yeah.
And it just, especially a team that fast, they're going to stuff that.
Yeah. I just wish he would be like, you know, because when he's in the red zone and he has to go get a 2-yarder for a touchdown, he knows how to drive.
He goes straight ahead, but
just drive your feet, man. Just get that.
You know how to do this. You don't have to, just because there's not only 1 or 2 yards to go, doesn't mean you can't just settle for the 2 to 3 yards. Yeah. Like, you don't have to bounce everything outside.
Yeah. I think the Dallin Hayden stuff is still kind of, that's what's irking me.
That irks me a lot,
like,
man.
You know, I mean, there was some of those things where Mayan was running and been like, yeah, even when he was running good in the first half, I'm just like, Dallin would have got 10 yards on that play. Dallin,
yeah.
And like, you know, that's so that, yeah.
Or like
that,
the speed option to Mayan Williams.
Yeah, that was, which is funny because they did get positive yards.
He got like 5 yards, yeah, didn't he?
I mean, Dallin would have got, you know,
20.
He might have took it to the house, you know, if it was read wrong. Like,
I mean, how open that was, like Trey would have housed that.
Yeah,
so exactly. Dallin probably would have got 20 to whatever yards on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. So that stuff is still irking. Honestly, I mean, I'm not going to go nuts on some of the stuff because, like, you know, some of the stuff I even said early in the year, being like, if they play like this, they're going to lose to Penn State and Michigan. Well, they played some of this way against Penn State
and they handled them.
They beat them. So, like,
and that score was nowhere near as bad as what it should have been.
And you, like, do they have to clean up a few more things till Michigan? Yeah, but they still have a few more weeks until that. So, you know, I think the thing that bothers me the most, and I get his point of view, I really do, but you got to kick. I mean, first of all, that play to Carnell Tate, run that on third down.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to do the push and push Kyle into the end zone, you know, run that on third down. And if you don't make it, kick the field goal. And the reason why I say you kick the field goal in a situation like that, it makes it what, 16 or?
It would have been 13-6. It would have made it a touchdown game.
So 13-6. So it's still 10-6 at that point. And they literally muff the punt. And, you know.
Yeah.
And I had flashbacks of 2016. I'm like, there's the boo-boo. And, you know, they're going to, thank God the defense, you know, rose up, shut them down again. But, you know, then they get punted all the way down to the end zone. And, you know,
but that's how these Penn State games go, man. Like, and I understand the analytics, or you gotta be bold, or the defense is doing great. So worst case scenario, team has to drive, you know, 95 plus yards, all well and good. Points are at a premium in these games. Yeah. We've seen too many of them where an interception at the end of the game, or a fumble at the end of the game, or a block punt at the end of the game, like, or a block field goal, excuse me. It just ruins it for Ohio State. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you there, man. Like,
you know,
I would have taken the points.
Points are a premium. And yes, the defense is playing good, and the defense would still be playing good even if they had the ball at the 25 yard line with a 13-6 lead.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it too.
I mean, that's where sometimes I think some of the newer age coaches, like, where I like a lot of their aggressiveness is, like, you know, when we're on our side of the field or their side of the field and it's at the 45 yard line and been like, and you only got 2 yards to go. Yeah, I like going for it in situations like that. Why punt it? And like, but then other situations, like, it's like, yeah, we should be able to run it in from the 2, but we didn't. So let's go get our points and let's kick the kickoff and let our defense go back out there with a 13-6 lead. So, I mean, that's just how I feel on that. And, you know, like I said, I get his point, you know, pretty much if they score a touchdown there, the way the defense is playing, the game was really over. Like, the Penn State wasn't coming back from that, but, you know, but that muff punt that could have been a very dangerous situation, giving them the field right there. And then, I mean, you basically then you force, I mean, then who knows then because of that, yeah, you shut them down, but they kick it to your to your goal line. You know, you're lucky that Kyle McCord doesn't get sacked in the end zone when he gets sacked.
I mean, it was that close.
And then you force your punter to literally go down the line, and you're lucky that the freaking Penn State kick returner made a stupid mistake not to catch it.
Not only, yeah. Thank you, but what are you doing there, man? You got to field that ball.
Yeah. And that still doesn't mean Penn State does anything. I mean, they might catch it at the 50 and, you know, still don't move and stuff like that. Yeah. So you never know. It's just dominoes that can happen in the game. So take your points and, you know, move on.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree completely. So all in all, though, I thought it was a good game. I mean, you don't want to harp on Kyle too much. We already talked about like the awareness stuff, but like the double clutch with Marv, like you can't let the guy just come up and smack the ball out of your hand. Yeah. Like you gotta be able to hold on to the ball. I mean, if that starts off 10-3 Penn State, you know, that game's probably a lot different.
Yeah.
And I felt like we're still not going to lose because our defense was stopping them and our offense was moving the ball. We couldn't finish drives at different points, but man, it's a much different game.
Yeah. Much harder game at that point. And obviously gives them juice and takes our crowd out of the game. And the crowd was a huge part of it.
Crowd was great. Yeah.
You know, that's another thing great about having a really good defense right now. The crowd was very much into that game. And, you know, like when you have that going for you, it is hard on quarterbacks, and you have a young quarterback, it can be really difficult. All righty. Any more on Penn State? I mean, it was a good win.
Yeah.
It was a nice win. Regardless of what anybody says, you know,
let anyone cheapen it.
Man. They have there's some teams out there with some good wins. I think they have the two best wins in the country. I mean, a little biased there. But I would not be surprised if they're in the top two when the committee, as long as they hold serve this weekend.
If Michigan's not in the top four?
Crazy.
I mean, Michigan's been playing the best football out of everybody in the country, so I'd be surprised. But then again, they've played a horrible schedule.
Yeah. And, you know,
and horrible quarterbacks, too.
Yeah. I'd like to see what, you know, I'm not saying that Penn State or Maryland are going to beat them, but I'm really interested to see what some more competent offenses, even or a competent team in Penn State and a competent offense in Maryland looks against them when, you know, they don't have necessarily all the answers.
Yeah. I mean, Penn State's really got to like be like, hey man, we got like a big arm pocket quarterback. They got to figure out how to get him.
Oh, I would challenge.
Like what's the point of getting that guy if you can't figure out an offense for him?
I would definitely challenge Michigan Duffield. It's going to be in Happy Valley. The fans are going to be nuts. All this cheating stuff is going nuts. So, you know, they're going to be really nuts. I can't wait. I'm assuming that, you know, at least Fox is going to be there, but you know, game day might be there too. And you know, I can't wait to see some of the signs.
I mean, the ball control offense didn't work against Ohio State. Like, do you think that's going to work against Michigan? They'll get crushed if they play that game against Michigan.
Yeah. So, yep.
All right. So Wisconsin.
So I had this game circled because it was always a nerve wracking game. You know, it was going to be a primetime game. You know, Camp Randall, you know, Ohio State, it's not like West Lafayette, but, you know, they've had some very tough challenges also in Camp Randall. And I mean, they've lost, I think since 2000, they've lost twice there, but they've had a couple overtime games. I mean, we all remember the, you know, Terrell Pryor with a minute left, you know, him scoring.
And was that 08?
08. I mean, there's been some types of games. What, 16 was the last time we played there? That was an overtime.
12 was an overtime. Was it 12 or 13 at Camp Randall?
I don't remember.
It's an overtime game.
Yeah, but I mean, so yeah, this game is a challenge. You know that, I mean, most people.
I think it's 12.
Most people, when they rank the toughest places to play in the conference, Happy Valley and Camp Randall are one and two. And so, yeah, it's going to be a ruckus crowd, you know. This was always my circled trap game because, you know, Luke being the coach there, you know, they do have players there, even, you know, maybe, you know, it seems like, what is the quarterback still down? Is he going to be?
Yeah, he broke his hand, but I don't know. I'm not sure the other one doesn't run the offense better. I mean,
so it's,
they got a redshirt freshman who actually was Jackson Smith and Jigba's quarterback in high school. Fun fact. So, yeah, I mean, Braden Locke, I think his name is, so I'm not sure that they're not better, you know.
I think Ohio State should win this game fairly easily, I would think, but it's still, it's, they can't overlook them because this can't be like, you know, we just beat Penn State and, you know, all this stuff is going on with Michigan and we weren't focused this week. So like, thank you. They have to be ready to play this one.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the things about like Wisconsin that scare me, you know, Iowa picked up their second loss in conference. So Wisconsin controls their own destiny. Mm-hmm. Like if they win out, they make it to the Big Ten championship, even though they lost to Iowa. They just had a really emotional win on the road against Illinois, where they came back 18 down or 14 down in the fourth quarter. They scored 18 unanswered. I think that's how it plays out. Braylon Allen, you know, he's a big dude. He's a great running back. They got always going to have a big line that's physical for him to run behind. I know they did kind of change who they are, their identity, and kind of went an air raid, but let's face it, they're going to have to run the ball. That's what they do best. That's what they still do best. That's what they're going to try to do against Ohio State. At least that's the only way they're going to have any success because they don't have the athletes to do air raid against Ohio State.
But what's interesting is they, in the conference, you know, they are the fastest pace to play team right now. So that's a,
you gotta be,
that's interesting that, damn, you know, you would never think of that as Wisconsin.
Right. No,
like that.
So and that's an interesting challenge for Knowles. I mean, that's good to see for him. Cause that's, again, you're seeing a different type of offense.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, they do a lot of different things. They have a lot of, as Knowles talked about this week in his press conference, they have a lot of different RPOs off a lot of their running games. They actually are meshing the two concepts fairly well. They just don't have the players to do it
yet. Yeah.
But, you know, so it could be possibly a dangerous team going forward. So, you know, the RPO stuff, I mean, he does seem that, you know, he is respecting that. You know, when he was talking about it, he's like, they basically have a pass play almost off every one of their running plays. So, you know, it's just something you got to be, you know, aware of,
right,
stuff like that, because, you know, they could start killing you in the middle if you're just coming up trying to take out the running backs.
Now, do you, and what, either what would you do or what would you want to see, I guess, is how you can answer this. But do you start off going through Marv again, or you hear Trey's back, he's full go in practice, do you try to get your run game established from the beginning and then go from there, see what you need to do?
No, I think we're pretty much at the point that Marv's your boy. The passing game is the where it's at. Let's get the passing game going, and then let's see
if we can run off that.
Really, really liked what they – I mean, Kyle was a little off target a lot in the first quarter last week, but they were getting some balls to Marv. And then the second quarter, they started really running it on Penn State. And I think, you know, spread teams out, throw the ball, and then, you know, come back in with your running game. I mean, the offensive line is blocking a little bit better. I was fairly okay with how they were run blocking last week. I haven't been that upset with them in their pass protection this year.
Like, no, they're, you know, they're fine at pass,
you know,
bro.
I mean, you know, I mean, I get it. Chop Robinson gets hurt early in the game, but that's probably the best pass rushing team that they're going to play all year, even against even Michigan. I think they're, you know, Wisconsin or Penn State is a, you know, better get at the quarterback. That, I mean, still Michigan's still a threat in that situation, but it was at least good to get this one behind them, and they looked pretty decent. So I would say, you know, I would try to get, I think the quicker they can get McCord settled down, then the offense is better. They got to do a better job at trying to, he's going to be unsettled early in games, but I would like to see him get settled down a little quicker, not just wait till the second half. Like I would like to see, start seeing him start getting settled down like by the second quarter. So whatever they can do to start, you know, getting him to that point, and then you start mixing the run in. So that's how I would attack it.
Okay. Who do you got for offensive player of the game?
Marv. I just think that again, I think Luke's going to do a lot of different things, and you know, Mike Tressel, you know, he's the defense coordinator. So people that are familiar with the Ohio State program and stuff like that. So I think they'll try some different things to try to keep Marv off the field. But the thing is, if Emeka's back, and you know, now I think they're starting to feel really comfortable with Tate. You know, Fleming's doing pretty good this year, you know, and how he's out there. Obviously, Stouffer. I think that they still challenge teams enough in enough places that you can't just focus just solely on Marv and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it will be Marv. I think he's going to get another double digit catch game and have over 100 yards again. And I'd say 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to say the starting running back, if it's either Hayden or Henderson. I think you got to get those guys rolling. Marv is definitely going to, I mean, if they don't, then it's going to be Marv for sure. But I would really like to see them kind of get those guys into a rhythm, you know, get them rolling a couple, you know, over 100 yards if you can, a couple touchdowns, whatever it may be, just get them comfortable, get them moving. You need Hayden to play. I mean, he's got to be a part of the plan moving forward.
I think I'm at the point that, you know,
I don't know if I can trust if Trey Henderson.
Is healthy. I think Trey and Dallin are your two top running backs, and they should. And then whichever one you choose that day between
Meyer or Chip or your change of pace guys,
that's your sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And that's who you, and that's the three backs you roll with. And, you know,
I agree.
And that's how I would attack it. I think Trey with his athleticism and his different things. And I think if you ran Hayden more, then you can do different things with Trey that, you know, some of the stuff that they showed with Xavier this year.
You could have Trey on the field for that.
Yeah, you could do some of those things. And I think he's just such a threat at any moment to take one to the house that you can try different things with them. And so, yeah, that's how I would go with that one.
I agree with that. I expect Stover will get his again. And I mean, he's been really good as a pass catching tight end. So I expect he'll get his again. Defensively, I'm going to say I think Sonny Styles is going to play a big role in this game. You know, they're a bigger team now. I mean, I guess it all depends how spread out they're going to be, but they know they're going to want to run, and that gives Sonny a chance to, you know, see what he can do in the pass game too. So I look for him to have a big game. What about you defensively?
I'm going with JT, man. I think
you think he's hot now?
I think he's hot. I mean, we've seen it a couple weeks prior to Penn State, and now through Penn State with that. I think that, you know, he's not the Bosa's or Chase, but I think he is.
He's damn good, though.
Legitimate defensive end that I think legitimately is going to go in the first round. And, you know, he has a little different skill set than those guys do. So maybe he's not the top end of the first round. But I think the dude's a, you know, middle first rounder easily. And, you know, so I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with coming down the rest of this season. I can see him having a good game here.
All right. Okay. You want to talk about some scores around the nation? Yeah. Okay. We'll get to the Big Ten real quick. We'll just, only ones I'm real concerned with, well, Oklahoma at Kansas. Oklahoma's a 9-point favorite noon game at Kansas. I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma's kind of shaky against UCF. I'll say they win. I don't know if they'll cover the 9 though.
Here's my throw out and then a wild take with this. The future coach of the University of Michigan will knock off Oklahoma this week.
That'd be a big get for them. That'd be unfortunate for Michigan State. Harbaugh gets fired and Michigan swoops up the best quarterback, or I mean the best coach out there.
What did they say that I saw today that they for like 30 years they haven't had a sellout and they've had 5 under him. So
that's impressive, man.
So, he's not there for a long. He's not going to be there for a long time. Somebody's getting him this year. So I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say it. I think he's a hot commodity. So
I agree.
I don't think the, you know, there's 6 undefeated teams. All 5 of the Power 5 are represented, and you know everybody's like, what if you know the winner of Michigan, Ohio State is undefeated and the other 4 are all undefeated, and it's like it's not going to happen. It never happened. Maybe this year because it's the last year of the 14 playoffs, so you end up with 5 undefeated teams. I doubt it. So Oklahoma will be the first one that this bunch to go down.
All right, Georgia, Florida, world's biggest cocktail party at 3:30 CBS. Georgia is a 14.5-point favorite. Remember, they're without Brock Bowers.
So
I think they'll cover because Florida doesn't have like an Anthony Richardson or someone like ridiculous that could just kind of like carry things on his own.
Yeah. Or it sucks.
They're not good. They're not good.
Yeah, I think I'm really like torn. Georgia's going to win, but I'm really torn whether they're going to cover. And the only reason will be because I think that, like, you know, they've struggled and then they looked great against Kentucky and then like, oh, Georgia's back. And then, nope, they struggle against Vandy. It's
like, so. Well, they started running their offense through Brock though. Did they, yeah. Did they not? I mean, I don't follow them that close, but I'm pretty sure that was the gist I got of all.
Yeah,
of
they it. Were, I mean, they, I did, we did watch some of that Kentucky game. I mean, they were really good that night, but I don't know. So yeah, I'll say they cover, but I don't know. It's I think it could be a very interesting game if Georgia's off schedule.
Oregon, Utah, that's always a big game in the Pac-12 now. That's a 3:30 game in Utah. Oregon's a 6.5-point favorite.
Is it at Utah, you said?
It's at Utah. You know, I don't think Utah has the offense because they're missing the quarterback. I do think that they'll keep this within 6.5, though.
Yeah, I think they'll probably cover, but I see Oregon winning. I think maybe, you know, I mean, how much longer can you keep relying on that defense? I mean, it's a great defense, don't get me wrong, but, you know, there's just like, I think the USC win was probably such an emotional win, and, you know, maybe that probably come down to earth a little bit this week and lose, but I think it could be a close one.
Oh my gosh. USC is only a 10-point favorite over Cal this week.
And is Lincoln coaching or not? Like, people are saying that Cliff might coach. Like,
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know what's going on there.
He has pneumonia.
Is he already taking the Chargers job?
He said he had pneumonia. He said that
okay.
These are the first 2 days he's missed in 20 years or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Couple decent ACC games, Notre Dame, Pitt. Now, the only reason I say Pitt is because they beat Louisville, but Notre Dame's a 20-point favorite in that game. I think Notre Dame will cover.
Yeah, I think they'll cover.
It's too. At home, too, 3:30. Louisville plays Duke then. Louisville's the home team. Louisville's a 4.5-point favorite. I don't know what to make of Duke. I think Duke, I mean, if Duke's defense can get after them, I think Duke will win. I don't think Louisville has a good offensive line, but if they can't, then
yeah.
I'm going to go with Duke in that game.
Yeah. I'll go opposite. I'll say Louisville and they cover. They'll win by a touchdown.
All right. Let's talk Big Ten. Indiana, Penn State at 12 o'clock. Penn State's a 32-point favorite at home. Hopefully there's no hangover or anything. I imagine they'll beat Indiana by 32 points, though. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see, because I don't know if I really believed in Penn State going, you know, after going into that Ohio State game, but Indiana sucks.
They do. I don't like spots like that, though. It's like,
that's a lot.
I mean,
that's a big number.
I think Penn State handles them, but I mean, by like 24, like, I think that's a more reasonable number.
Yeah, I agree. Maryland goes over to Evanston. It's a noon game. Maryland's a 14-point favorite. Yeah, Northwestern sucks. Maryland's going to beat them.
Yep.
They'll cover. Michigan State goes to Minnesota, 3:30. Minnesota's a 7.5-point favorite. Yeah, I guess. I mean, State's garbage and the West is garbage. So,
you know, those Big Ten West. I think I'll say Minnesota. God, they just got blown out by Michigan too.
They beat Iowa though, right? Last week.
Minnesota beat. Oh, okay. I'll say Minnesota covers, but you just never know how those games are.
Purdue, Nebraska, 3:30. The West is just so weird, man. It's like there's still a play out there that there could be a seven, yeah. Or is it a 7-way tie? Is it every team?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They could all go 3-3 in the Big Ten West.
Jeez.
You know what's funny? This is not the first year where they've had like five or more teams that have had the ability to be able to, like,
outside the years where Wisconsin's been like stomps everybody. Yeah. It's been like that every year. So,
yeah, so,
oh my gosh. Okay. Nebraska is hosting Purdue at 3:30. Nebraska's a 2.5-point favorite. Yeah. I mean, that Purdue team wasn't very good that Ohio State beat.
I think they're playing okay. I'm not going
to
say
4-3, man. He could get them to a bowl.
Yeah. So they cover that. They win it.
All right. Then in Camp Randall. Oh my gosh. That's scary at night. Ohio State is a 14.5-point favorite though. My score, I have 28-10. So Ohio State covers.
A little higher than you. I was going with 31-7. I think that the defense continues to really shut teams down. And, you know, I think the offense will be fine in this game, but we're not going to see the Ohio State, you know, can run up to 50 points. Minnesota, maybe Michigan State. They're just a different team this year. They're going to rely a lot more on their defense, and they're letting Kyle kind of fill some stuff out. And, you know, that's kind of a good thing. You have a strong defense to let your quarterback, you know, it's not as crazy as it was for Stroud in 21. And, you know, Stroud, I'm not saying Kyle and Stroud are the same guys or Kyle will ever get up to Stroud's level, but, you know, I think Buckeye fans have to realize that Stroud was in a much more difficult position in 21 than what Kyle is now, just because the defense is better.
Defense is so much better. I mean, it's just, you can't even, like, better feels like the wrong word to say. I mean, it's just like night and day. It's a different sport. I mean, it's just, you can't even compare the two. Yeah, there was another point I was going to make on it, but I really can't remember. I mean, I think they win. I think they'll cover. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Isn't it weird how, like, this version of Ohio State, you're more comfortable predicting the opposing offense will get 10 or less points than you are of our offense getting like more than 35.
Yeah. It's like, it's crazy.
It feels strange being a Ryan Day, you know, team and saying that. But that's all I got. Do you anything else before we get on out of here?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I am John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO. Go Buckeyes.
Go Buckeyes.